Section 3. Evangelism and Church Growth. Chapter 18. Community Awareness. Compiler's note. Because the book Evangelism has already covered the subject thoroughly, this section is purposely more limited than its importance warrants. Christ followed various methods to gain the attention of the multitude. From Christ's methods of labor, we may learn many valuable lessons. He did not follow merely one method. In various ways, he sought to gain the attention of the multitude, and having succeeded in this, he proclaimed to them the truths of the gospel. His chief work lay in ministering to the poor, the needy, and the ignorant. In simplicity, he opened before them the blessings they might receive, and thus he aroused their souls' hunger for the truth, the bread of life. Community services. Every merciful act to the needy is regarded as though done to Jesus. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Good deeds are the fruit that Christ requires us to bear. Kind words, deeds of benevolence, of tender regard for the poor, the needy, the afflicted. When hearts sympathize with hearts burdened with discouragement and grief, when the hand dispenses to the needy, when the naked are clothed, the stranger made welcome to a seat in your parlor and a place in your heart, angels are coming very near, and an answering strain is responded to in heaven. Every act of justice, mercy, and benevolence makes melody in heaven. The Father, from his throne, beholds those who do these acts of mercy, and numbers them with his most precious treasures. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Every merciful act to the needy, the suffering, is regarded as though done to Jesus. When you succor the poor, sympathize with the afflicted and oppressed, and befriend the orphan, you bring yourselves into a closer relationship to Jesus. Some ministers cannot feel for the poor, needy, and ignorant. Christ's heart is cheered by the sight of those who are poor in every sense of the term, cheered by his view of the ill-used ones who are meek, cheered by the seemingly unsatisfied hungering after righteousness, by the inability of many to begin. He welcomes, as it were, the very condition of things that would discourage many ministers. He corrects our erring piety, giving the burden of the work for the poor and needy in the rough places of the earth to men and women who have hearts that can feel for the ignorant and for those that are out of the way. The Lord teaches these workers how to meet those whom he wishes them to help. They will be encouraged as they see doors opening for them to enter places where they can do medical missionary work. Having little self-confidence, they give God all the glory. Their hands may be rough and unskilled, but their hearts are susceptible to pity. They are filled with an earnest desire to do something to relieve the woe so abundant, and Christ is present to help them. He works through those who discern mercy in misery, gain in the loss of all things. When the light of the world passes by, privileges appear in all hardships, order in confusion, the success and wisdom of God in that which has seemed to be a failure. Public relations. The best way to deal with error is to present truth. The best way to deal with error is to present the truth and leave wild ideas to die for want of notice. Contrasted with truth, the weakness of error is made apparent to every intelligent mind. The more the erroneous assertions of opposers and of those who rise up among us to deceive souls are repeated, the better the cause of error is served. The more publicity is given to the suggestions of Satan, the better pleased is his satanic majesty. Do not misrepresent in order to gain favor. We are not to misrepresent what we profess to believe in order to gain favor. God despises misrepresentation and prevarication. He will not tolerate the man who says and does not. The best and noblest work is done by fair, honest dealing. Media. Let important discourses be published in the newspapers. Those who become interested have to meet sophistry and misrepresentation from popular ministers, and they know not how to answer these things. The truth presented by the living preacher should be published in as compact a form as possible and circulated widely. As far as practicable, let the important discourses given at our camp meetings be published in the newspapers. Thus, the truth which was placed before a limited number may find access to many minds. And where the truth has been misrepresented, the people will have an opportunity of knowing just what the minister said. Chapter 19. Outreach.
Christ ministered to people's needs before inviting them to follow him. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, "Follow me." Devise methods to reach the people where they are. Let every worker in the Master's vineyard study, plan, devise methods to reach the people where they are. We must do something out of the common course of things. We must arrest the attention. We must be deadly in earnest. We are on the very verge of times of trouble and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of. A beehive church will have a multifaceted program for reaching the community. During the past few years, the beehive in San Francisco has been indeed a busy one. Many lines of Christian effort have been carried forward by our brethren and sisters there. These included visiting the sick and destitute, finding homes for orphans and work for the unemployed, nursing the sick, and teaching the truth from house to house, distributing literature, and conducting classes on healthful living and the care of the sick. A school for the children has been conducted in the basement of the Laguna Street Meeting House. For a time, a working men's home and medical mission was maintained. On Market Street, near the City Hall, there were treatment rooms, operated as a branch of the St. Helena Sanitarium. In the same locality was a health food store. Nearer the center of the city, not far from the Call Building, was conducted a vegetarian cafe, which was open 6 days in the week and entirely closed on the Sabbath. Along the waterfront, ship mission work was carried on. At various times, our ministers conducted meetings in large halls in the city. Thus, the warning message was given by many. Seek until you have the joy of finding, the lesson of persevering faith and labor. Christ himself has taught us. In the parable of the lost sheep, he has presented to our imagination no picture of a sorrowful shepherd returning without the sheep. The shepherd's search ceases not until the lost is brought back to the fold. The woman whose coin is lost searches till she finds it. These parables do not speak of failure, but of success and joy in the recovery of the lost. Here is the divine guarantee that not one lost soul is overlooked, not one is left unsuccored. With all our efforts in seeking for the lost, Christ will cooperate. Union Conference Record, July 1, 1900. Publications. Reading prepares the way for the spoken word. I have been shown that few have any correct idea of what the distribution of papers and tracts is doing. The missionary work, in circulating the publications upon present truth, is opening doors everywhere and preparing minds to receive the truth when the living preacher shall come among them. The success which attends the efforts of ministers in the field is not due alone to their efforts, but in a great degree to the influence of the reading matter which has enlightened the minds of the people and removed prejudice. Thus, many are made susceptible to the influence of the truth when it is presented before them. The Publishing Ministry, 398. Get books into the hands of all who will read. In every important place there should be a depository for publications. And someone who really appreciates the truth should manifest an interest to get these books into the hands of all who will read. We should get out books that can be sold cheaply. Do not accept the temptations which will come to you with peculiar force to get out books which involve a large investment of money. The Lord is not in this matter. The thousands of dollars expended in illustrations could be invested in getting out books and selling them cheaply. As ministers attend tent meetings, they should have the privilege of taking these books with them and selling them as cheaply as possible. With the money they receive above what the books have cost them, they should buy books to present to those of our people who cannot afford to purchase them, or to unbelievers, who may thus be brought to a knowledge of the truth. Counsels to Writers and Editors, 168-169. Health Ministry. Combining medical missionary work and ministry of the word, we can reach all classes. The Gospel Ministry is an organization for the proclamation of the truth to the sick and to the well. It combines the medical missionary work and the ministry of the word. By these combined agencies, opportunities are given to communicate light and to present the gospel to all classes and all grades of society. God wants the ministers and the church members to take a decided, active interest in the medical missionary work.
Ministers should sometimes gain listeners' interest in Bible doctrine by first giving talks on health. In our sanitariums, our ministers, who labor in word and doctrine, should give short talks upon the principles of temperance, showing that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and bringing to the minds of the people the responsibility resting upon them as God's purchased possession, to make the body a holy temple, fit for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As this instruction is given, the people will become interested in Bible doctrine. If physicians and ministers will work together in the presentation of truth, more will be reached. The work you have been doing in the city is meeting heaven's approval. What you have done demonstrates that if our physicians and our ministers can work together in the presentation of truth to the people, more can be reached than could be influenced by the ministers laboring alone. I trust that your example in this respect may be followed by other physicians. Family Ministry. Uplifting humanity begins in the home. The restoration and uplifting of humanity begins in the home. The work of parents underlies every other. Society is composed of families, and is what the heads of families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. And the heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. Chapter 20. Planning and Strategy. Ministers weighted with the burden of soul saving will see fruit for their labors. Through the grace of Christ, God's ministers are made messengers of light and blessing. As by earnest, persevering prayer, they obtain the endowment of the Holy Spirit and go forth weighted with the burden of soul saving, their hearts filled with zeal to extend the triumphs of the cross, they will see fruit of their labors. Resolutely refusing to display human wisdom or to exalt self, they will accomplish a work that will withstand the assaults of Satan. Many souls will be turned from darkness to light, and many churches will be established. Men will be converted, not to the human instrumentality, but to Christ. Self will be kept in the background. Jesus only, the man of Calvary, will appear. Time for evangelism. Center your mind on the one object of saving souls. Some ministers are easily diverted from their work. They become discouraged, or are attracted to their homes, and leave a growing interest to die for want of attention. The harm done to the cause in this way can scarcely be estimated. When an effort to promulgate the truth is started, the minister in charge should feel responsible to carry it through successfully. If his labors appear to be without result, he should seek by earnest prayer to discover if they are what they should be. He should humble his soul before God in self-examination, and by faith,
cling to the divine promises, humbly continuing his efforts till he is satisfied that he has faithfully discharged his duty and done everything in his power to gain the desired result. Ministers who hover over their churches do them harm. The churches that have not life in themselves, that have lost their spiritual discernment, call for ministers to come to their help, to bring them the breath of life. But the ministers have other work to do. They must carry the message of truth to those who know it not. Those ministers who hover about the churches, who have not a clear-cut message, which, like a sharp, two-edged sword, cuts both ways, will do the churches harm. They will not work for the salvation of souls that are in great peril, because they know not the truth. And they will die spiritually themselves, and trouble and discourage those who try to help them. Soul-winning ministers produce soul-winning members. When the church sees that the ministers are all aglow with the spirit of the work, that they feel deeply the force of the truth, and are seeking to bring others to the knowledge of it, it will put new life and vigor into them. Their hearts will be stirred to do what they can to aid in the work. There is not a class of people in the world who are more willing to sacrifice of their means to advance the cause than are Seventh-day Adventists. If the ministers do not utterly discourage them by their indolence and inefficiency, and by their lack of spirituality, they will generally respond to any appeal that may be made that commends itself to their judgment and consciences. But they want to see fruit. Church planning.
Present your plans to the church in such a manner as to win members' interest and cooperation. There is need of Nehemiahs in the church today, not men who can pray and preach only, but men whose prayers and sermons are braced with firm and eager purpose. The course pursued by this Hebrew patriot in the accomplishment of his plans is one that should still be adopted by ministers and leading men. When they have laid their plans, they should present them to the church in such a manner as to win their interest and cooperation. Let the people understand the plans and share in the work, and they will have a personal interest in its prosperity. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary 3, 1137. Keep members in close touch with your plans. Why not put them to work visiting the sick and assisting in other ways, and thus keep the church in a workable condition? All would thus be kept in close touch with the minister's plans, so that he could call for their assistance at any moment, and they would be able to labor intelligently with him. All should be laborers together with God, and then the minister can feel that he has helpers in whom it is safe to trust. The minister can hasten this desirable end by showing that he has confidence in the workers by setting them to work. Take officers and members into your confidence and share the work with them. Many members of the church have been deprived of the experience which they should have had, because the sentiment has prevailed that the minister should do all the work and bear all the burdens. Either the burdens have been crowded upon the minister, or he has assumed those duties that should have been performed by the members of the church. Ministers should take the officers and members of the church into their confidence and teach them how to labor for the master. Thus, the minister will not have to perform all the labor himself, and at the same time, the church will receive greater benefit than if he endeavored to do all the work and release the members of the church from acting the part which the Lord designed that they should. Chapter 21. Getting Decisions. Many are waiting only to be gathered in. This Ethiopian represented a large class who need to be taught by such missionaries as Philip, men who will hear the voice of God and go where he sends them. There are many who are reading the scriptures who cannot understand their true import. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. Conversions are not all alike. All are not constituted alike. Conversions are not all alike.
Jesus impresses the heart, and the sinner is born again to new life. Often souls have been drawn to Christ when there was no violent conviction, no soul-rending, no remorseful terrors. They looked upon an uplifted Savior, they lived. They saw the soul's need. They saw the Savior's sufficiency and his claims. They heard his voice saying, "Follow me," and they rose up and followed him. This conversion was genuine, and the religious life was just as decided as was that of others who suffered all the agony of a violent process. Do not be discouraged if some decisions are delayed. The priests were convinced of the divine power of the Savior. Opportunity was granted them to know the truth and to be profited by the light. Rejected, it would pass away, never to return. By many, the light was rejected, yet it was not given in vain. Many hearts were moved that for a time made no sign. During the Savior's life, his mission seemed to call forth little response of love from the priests and teachers. But after his ascension, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Public. To get decisions, Christ must be placed above theory. Many of our ministers have made a great mistake in giving discourses which were wholly argumentative. There are souls who listen to the theory of the truth and are impressed with the evidences brought out. And then, if a portion of the discourse presents Christ as the Savior of the world, the seed sown may spring up and bear fruit to the glory of God. But in many discourses, the cross of Christ is not presented before the people. Some may be listening to the last sermon they will ever hear, and some will never again be so situated that they can have the chain of truth brought before them and a practical application made of it to their hearts. That golden opportunity lost is lost forever. Had Christ and his redeeming love been exalted in connection with the theory of truth, it might have balanced them on his side.
Eloquence may mask truth and not produce decisions. He who presents eloquent words simply causes the people to forget the truth that is mingled with his oratory. When the excitement passes away, it is found that the word of God has not been fastened upon the mind, nor have the simple gained in understanding. The people may go away from the church and may speak in admiration of the oratorical powers of the man who has preached to them, but they may not be convicted by the truth or brought any nearer to the point of decision. They speak of the sermon in the same way as they would of a play, and of the minister in the same manner as they would of an actor at a theater. They may come again to listen to the same kind of discourse, and may again go away unimpressed and unfed. The Voice in Speech and Song, 283. Decisions should be called for in every meeting. Prompt, energetic, and earnest action may save an undecided soul. No one can tell how much is lost by attempting to preach without the unction of the Holy Spirit. There are souls in every congregation who are hesitating, almost persuaded to be holy for God. The decision is being made for time and for eternity. But it is too often the case that the minister has not the spirit and power of the message of truth in his own heart. Hence, no direct appeals are made to those souls that are trembling in the balance. The result is that impressions are not deepened upon the hearts of the convicted ones, and they leave the meeting feeling less inclined to accept the service of Christ than when they came. They decide to wait for a more favorable opportunity, but it never comes. That godless discourse, like Cain's offering, lacked the Savior. The golden opportunity is lost, and the cases of these souls are decided. Is not too much at stake to preach in an indifferent manner and without feeling the burden of souls? Give an invitation for people to come forward. The Lord especially blessed in speaking Sunday afternoon. All listened with the deepest interest, and at the close of the discourse, an invitation was given for all who desired to be Christians, and all who felt that they had not a living connection with God, to come forward, and we would unite our prayers with theirs for the pardon of sin and for grace to resist temptation.
This was a new experience for many of our brethren in Europe, but they did not hesitate. It seemed that the entire congregation were on their feet, and the best they could do was to be seated and all seek the Lord together. Here was an entire congregation manifesting their determination to put sin away and to engage most earnestly in the work of seeking God. In every company there are two classes, the self-complacent and the self-abhorring. To the first class, the gospel has no charms except as they can construe detached portions to flatter their vanity. They love those peculiar features of lofty morality which they think they possess. But many of those who view Jesus in the perfection of his character see their own imperfections in such a light that they are almost in despair. Such was the case here. But the Lord was present to instruct and reprove, to comfort and bless, as the several cases required. Earnest prayer was then offered, not for a happy flight of feeling, but for a true sense of our sinfulness and of our hopelessness without the atoning sacrifice. Never did Jesus seem dearer than on this occasion. There was weeping throughout the congregation. The promise was grasped, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." If the veil could have been withdrawn, we should have seen angels of God standing to minister to the humble, penitent ones. After prayer, 100 testimonies were born. Many of these showed a real, genuine experience in the things of God. Personal. 5 words spoken privately will do more than a whole public discourse. After the meetings are through, there should be a personal investigation with each one on the ground. Each one should be asked how he is going to take these things, if he is going to make a personal application of them. And then you should watch and see if there is an interest in this one or that. 5 words spoken to them privately will do more than the whole discourse has done. Ministers must learn to work differently with each individual type of temperament. As the physician deals with physical disease, so does the pastor minister to the sin-sick soul. And his work is as much more important than that of the physician, as eternal life is more valuable than temporal existence. The pastor meets with an endless variety of temperaments, and it is his duty to become acquainted with the members of the families that listen to his teachings in order to determine what means will best influence them in the right direction. Bible class.
Special meetings should be held to give Bible instruction to those interested. Do not immediately follow one discourse with another, but let a period of rest intervene, that the truth may be fastened in the mind, and that opportunity for meditation and prayer may be given for both minister and people. In this way, there will be growth in religious knowledge and experience. Bible readings should be given, and believers and unbelievers should have an opportunity to ask questions on points not fully understood. Those who profess to be advocates of truth should ask questions that will bring forth answers that will shed light upon the present truth. If any ask questions that serve to confuse the mind and to sow doubt and questioning, they should be advised to abstain from such questioning, that others may be brought to Christ. We must learn when to speak and when to keep silent, and learn to sow seeds of faith, to reflect light and not darkness. Special meetings should be appointed for those who are interested in the truth and who need instruction. Conduct a Bible class in connection with evangelistic meetings. There is danger of passing too rapidly from point to point. Give short lessons, and often. Your work is not only to preach, but to minister. Personal effort for families and individuals should comprise a large share of your labors. After you have opened to the people the precious mines of truth, there is yet a great work to be done for those who have become interested in the subjects presented. After a short discourse, change the order of the exercises and give opportunity for all who desire it to remain for an after-interview or Bible class, where they can ask questions upon subjects that trouble them. You will find great success in coming close to the people in these Bible lessons. The workers who labor in connection with the minister should make special efforts, patiently and kindly, to lead inquirers to an understanding of the truth. If you have not more than one to instruct, that one, thoroughly convinced, will communicate the light to others. These testing truths are of so great importance that they may be presented again and again and impressed upon the minds of the hearers. The decisions men reach in regard to these things mean everything to them. Securing interests. Do not leave until interests have decided, been baptized, and gotten into a church. For years, light has been given upon this point, showing the necessity of following up an interest that has been raised, and in no case leaving it until all have decided that lean toward the truth and have experienced the conversion necessary for baptism and united with some church or formed one themselves. There are no circumstances of sufficient importance to call a minister from an interest created by the presentation of truth. Even sickness and death are of less consequence than the salvation of souls for whom Christ made so immense a sacrifice. Be a lamplighter, not just a torchbearer. In the place of having one mammoth camp meeting, have several small camp meetings. And when companies are raised up in the places where these meetings are held, let a place of worship be built for them. We cannot do otherwise here, so that labor shall not be lost. To do otherwise is too much like carrying a torch through a district in the night. The places where the torchbearer goes are light, but there are not many tapers kindled from his torch to become true workers in giving light to others. Chapter 22. Personal Evangelism. Personal work cannot be looked upon as of secondary importance. The ministers of Jesus Christ will have more than a mere casual interest for the people. They will seek to know the state of their spiritual being, even as a physician seeks to understand the physical difficulties of his patients. They will engage in personal conversation and adapt their counsel to every individual case according to the need of the soul. This personal work cannot be looked upon as of secondary importance. The minister is the Lord's appointed under-shepherd to the flock of God, and it is his business to minister to the sin-sick, tempted, and erring. This very work is needed among all classes and in all places. Ministers satisfied with the stimulus of sensational meetings must also learn to do personal work. Close investigation reveals the fact that there are but very few sheaves to be gathered after these specially exciting meetings. Yet, from all the experience of the past, you have not learned to change your manner of labor. You have been slow to learn how to shape your future labors in such a manner as to shun the errors of the past. The reason of this has been that, like the inebriate, you love the stimulus of these sensational meetings. You long for them as the drunkard longs for a glass of liquor to arouse his flagging energies. These debates, which create an excitement, are mistaken for zeal for God and love for the truth. You have been almost destitute of the Spirit of God to work with your efforts. If you had God with you in all your moves, and if you felt a burden for souls and had the wisdom to skillfully manage these exciting seasons to press souls into the kingdom of Christ, you could see fruits of your labors and God would be glorified. Your soul should be all aglow with the spirit of the truth you present to others. After you have labored to convict souls of the claims that the law of God has upon them, teaching them repentance toward God and faith in Christ, then your work is but just begun. You too frequently excuse yourself from completing the work and leave a heavy burden for others to take up in finishing the work that you ought to have done. You say that you are not qualified to finish up the work. Then the sooner you qualify yourself to bear the burdens of a shepherd or pastor of the flock, the better. Visiting non-members. gaining people's confidence through personal visitation will have greater influence than preaching. When there are only evening meetings to attend, there is much time that can be used to great advantage in visiting from house to house, meeting the people where they are. And if ministers of Christ have the graces of the Spirit, if they imitate the great exemplar, they will find access to hearts and will win souls to Christ. Some ministers bearing the last message of mercy are too distant. They do not improve the opportunities that they have of gaining the confidence of unbelievers by their exemplary deportment, their unselfish interest for the good of others, their kindness, forbearance, humbleness of mind, and their respectful courtesy. These fruits of the Spirit will exert a far greater influence than will the preaching in the desk without individual effort in families. But the preaching of pointed, testing truths to the people and corresponding individual efforts from house to house to back up pulpit effort will greatly extend the influence for good, and souls will be converted to the truth. Do not spend visitation time talking on common themes. In all his labors, let the minister educate his hearers from the very first. Let him present to them the precious pearls of truth, and not confine his work to mere sermonizing, but let him minister to the people. Let him visit his hearers at their homes, not waiting for invitations, but going as one sent of God. Let him invite himself to the people's homes, in meekness and humbleness of mind, seeking admission, and then present to them a sin-pardoning Savior. The minister, when visiting at the homes of the people, is not to spend the precious time in mere talk upon common themes of conversation, but he is to watch for an opportunity to introduce them to his best friend. Too often men and women are indifferent and careless in regard to that which concerns their spiritual interests, but even to this class, a word in season may be a seed dropped into good soil. Do not at first urge your peculiar views too strongly. Here is a lesson for all our ministers, colporters, and missionary workers. When you meet those who, like Nathaniel, are prejudiced against the truth, do not urge your peculiar views too strongly. Talk with them at first of subjects upon which you can agree. Bow with them in prayer, and in humble faith present your petitions at the throne of grace. Both you and they will be brought into a closer connection with heaven. Prejudice will be weakened, and it will be easier to reach the heart. Bible studies. Interest awakened by preaching should be followed up by visitation and Bible studies. A minister may enjoy sermonizing, for it is the pleasant part of the work, and is comparatively easy. But no minister should be measured by his ability as a speaker. The harder part comes after he leaves the desk, in watering the seed sown. The interest awakened should be followed up by personal labor, visiting, holding Bible readings, teaching how to search the Scriptures, praying with families and interested ones, seeking to deepen the impression made upon hearts and consciences. Ministers' wives may give Bible studies as successfully as their husbands. There are ministers' wives, Sisters Starr, Haskell, Wilson and Robinson, who have been devoted, earnest, whole-souled workers, giving Bible readings and praying with families, helping along by personal efforts just as successfully as their husbands. Friendship, soul winning. The church succeeds when members seek out friends and tell their personal experience with Jesus. The atmosphere of the church is so frigid, its spirit is of such an order, that men and women cannot sustain or endure the example of primitive and heaven-born piety. The warmth of their first love is frozen up, and unless they are watered over by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their candlestick will be removed out of its place, except they repent and do their first works. The first works of the church were seen when the believers sought out friends, relatives, and acquaintances, and with hearts overflowing with love, told the story of what Jesus was to them and what they were to Jesus. Friends may do more to meet the needs of families than could a minister. It is not God's purpose that ministers should be left to do the greatest part of the work of sowing the seeds of truth. Men who are not called to the gospel ministry are to be encouraged to labor for the Master according to their several ability. Hundreds of men and women now idle could do acceptable service. By carrying the truth into the homes of their neighbors and friends, they could do a great work for the Master. God is no respecter of persons. He will use humble, devoted Christians who have the love of the truth in their hearts. Let such ones engage in service for him by doing house-to-house work. Sitting by the fireside, such men, if humble, discreet, and godly, can do more to meet the real needs of families than could a minister. Chapter 23. Public Evangelism. Win people by exalting Jesus and hiding self. Those who labor for Christ should be men and women of great discretion, so that those who do not understand their doctrines may be led to respect them and regard them as persons void of fanaticism, void of rashness and impetuosity. Their discourses and conduct and conversation should be of a nature that will lead men to the conclusion that these ministers are men of thought, of solidity of character, men who fear and love their Heavenly Father. They should win the confidence of the people, so that those who listen to the preaching may know that the ministers have not come with some cunningly devised fable, but that their words are words of worth, a testimony that demands thought and attention. Let the people see you exalting Jesus and hiding self. Gain the confidence of people before introducing the Sabbath and immortality questions. I've been shown that our ministers go too rapidly through their subjects and bring the most objectionable features of our faith too early into their effort. There are truths that will not involve so great a cross, that should be kept before their minds, day after day, and even weeks before the Sabbath and immortality questions are entered upon. Then you gain the confidence of the people as being men who have clear, forcible arguments, and they think you understand the Scriptures. When once the confidence of the people is gained, then it is time enough to introduce publicly the Sabbath and immortality questions. Crusade. Using Christ's methods will still attract crowds. Those who will study the manner of Christ's teaching and educate themselves to follow his way will attract and hold large numbers now, as Christ held the people in his day. When the truth in its practical character is urged upon the people because you love them, souls will be convicted, because the Holy Spirit of God will impress their hearts. Associates should be trained to be part of the evangelistic team. When an effort is made to introduce the truth in an important place, our ministers should give special attention to the instruction and training of those who are to cooperate with them. Colporters and canvassers are needed, and those who are fitted to give Bible readings in families, so that while the ministers are laboring in word and doctrine, these can also be calling minds to the truth. The Publishing Ministry, 307. Do not rely on worldly singers and theatrical display to waken interest. In their efforts to reach the people, the Lord's messengers are not to follow the ways of the world. In the meetings that are held, they are not to depend on worldly singers and theatrical display to awaken an interest. How can those who have no interest in the Word of God, who have never read His Word with a sincere desire to understand its truths, be expected to sing with the Spirit and the understanding? How can their hearts be in harmony with the words of sacred song? How can the heavenly choir join in music that is only a form? Seminar. Teaching combined with discussion is a most effective way to spread our message. During the past season, Brother Gamet has been visiting and holding Bible readings with the people in these stables. At the time we were there, he was holding two meetings a week in a stable in the Angronia Valley, about 7 miles from Torre Pellice. The interest was good, and the average attendance was from 40 to 50. There, on the dirt floor of the stable, which was sometimes strewn with leaves or straw, or sitting on boards placed across boxes, these would sit and listen for an hour or two, and then would remain after the meeting closed, to talk over what had been said. The Seventh-day Adventists, 248. Let Daniel and Revelation speak in a non-controversial, Christ-centered atmosphere. We have no time to lose. God calls upon us to watch for souls as they that must give an account. Advance new principles and crowd in the clear-cut truth. It will be as a sword cutting both ways. But be not too ready to take a controversial attitude. There will be times when we must stand still and see the salvation of God. Let Daniel speak. Let the revelation speak and tell what is truth. But whatever phase of the subject is presented, uplift Jesus as the center of all hope, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Chapter 24. Small Group Evangelism. Hold Bible readings and pray with families and little companies. My ministering brethren, do not think that the only work you can do, the only way you can labor for souls, is to give discourses. The best work you can do is to teach, to educate. Whenever you can find an opportunity to do so, sit down with some family and let them ask questions. Then answer them patiently, humbly. Continue this work in connection with your more public efforts. Preach less and educate more by holding Bible readings and by praying with families and little companies. Members can invite friends and neighbors to their home, then ask the minister to meet with them. The interest continues to grow, and those who embrace the truth go right to work for their friends, inviting them to come out to hear. More than this, they invite their neighbors and friends to come to their house. They then secure one of our ministers to give a Bible reading. These meetings are made very interesting. Hold Bible readings for families and their neighbors. There is need of a different kind of labor in our churches from what they have had. Those ministers who are inclined merely to preach and not to visit and put forth personal effort need to break up this habit by working earnestly in families. Let families invite in their neighbors, and then let the minister hold Bible readings with them and become acquainted with them. There needs to be less preaching and more pastoral work done in our churches. Those who have no aptitude for this kind of labor should educate themselves and come more into harmony with Christ's manner of working. Chapter 25. Specialized Outreaches. Cities. Cities may be worked by renting a house and bringing together a family of helpers. Brother and Sister Haskell have rented a house in one of the best parts of the city and have gathered round them a family of helpers who day by day go out giving Bible readings, selling our papers, and doing medical missionary work. During the hour of worship, the workers relate their experiences. Bible studies are regularly conducted in the home, and the young men and young women connected with the mission receive a practical, thorough training in holding Bible readings and in selling our publications. The Lord has blessed their labors. A number have embraced the truth, and many others are deeply interested. Young workers should associate with experienced workers in doing city work. Many young men who have had the right kind of education at home are to be trained for service and encouraged to lift the standard of truth in new places by well-planned and faithful work. By associating with our ministers and experienced workers in city work, they will gain the best kind of training. Acting under divine guidance and sustained by the prayers of their more experienced fellow workers, they may do a good and blessed work. As they unite their labors with those of the older workers, using their youthful energies to the very best account, they will have the companionship of heavenly angels. And as workers together with God, it is their privilege to sing and pray and believe, and work with courage and freedom. The confidence and trust that the presence of heavenly agencies will bring to them and to their fellow workers will lead to prayer and praise and the simplicity of true faith.
Training schools and public meetings should be combined when doing city work. A well-balanced work can be carried on best in the cities when a Bible school for the training of workers is in progress, while public meetings are being held. Connected with this training school or city mission should be experienced laborers of deep spiritual understanding, who can give the Bible workers daily instruction, and who can also unite wholeheartedly in the general public effort. And as men and women are converted to the truth, those standing at the head of the mission should, with much prayer, show these new converts how to experience the power of the truth in their hearts. Such a mission, if conducted by those who know how to manage wisely, will be a light shining in a dark place. City work should include restaurants and health lectures. The Lord has a message for our cities, and this message we are to proclaim in our camp meetings, and by other public efforts, and also through our publications. In addition to this, hygienic restaurants are to be established in the cities, and by them the message of temperance is to be proclaimed. Arrangements should be made to hold meetings in connection with our restaurants. Whenever possible, let a room be provided where the patrons can be invited to lectures on the science of health and Christian temperance, where they can receive instruction on the preparation of wholesome food, and on other important subjects. In these meetings, there should be prayer and singing and talks, not only on health and temperance topics, but also on other appropriate Bible subjects. As the people are taught how to preserve physical health, many opportunities will be found to sow the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom. Prisons. Those within prison walls need comfort and encouragement. Then what is traced in your diary this year? Does it record an experience gained by ministering to the suffering, the poor, and the needy? Those who are suffering for Christ's sake, who will not yield the truth for error, who, perhaps, are incarcerated within prison walls, these need comfort and encouragement. This is the kind of work that is deciding our destiny. There is a precious reward awaiting those who are faithful in their ministry. They will have a home in the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for them that love him and wait for his appearing. It would be unsafe to take to heaven persons who claim to be Christ's servants, yet neglect to visit those who are in prison. But God's law plainly reveals to us the duty of man to his fellow man. All who neglect their fellow creatures, the very least of those whom Christ calls his brethren, are recorded in the books of heaven as weighed in the balances and found wanting. In disregarding his special commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, in passing by the suffering, the needy, and the wounded, they have left the side of Christ, their example, and taken the side of the enemy of God. In neglecting to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to visit those who are in prison, they show what spirit they are of. It would not be safe for such characters to enter heaven, for by their selfishness and hard-heartedness, by their failure to appreciate their brethren here, they plainly reveal the fact that they could not appreciate God, his Son, or the saints in the kingdom of heaven. Ellen White visited a prison and spoke to the convicts. During my stay in Oregon, I visited the prison in Salem, and by invitation spoke to the convicts in the prison chapel. Disadvantaged. Churches are to bring hope to the hopeless. There is a work to be done by our churches that few have any idea of. We shall have to give of our means to support laborers in the harvest field, and we shall rejoice in the sheaves gathered in. But while this is right, there is a work, as yet untouched, that must be done. The mission of Christ was to heal the sick, encourage the hopeless, bind up the brokenhearted. This work of restoration is to be carried on among the needy, suffering ones of humanity. God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand.
Relieve some of God's afflicted ones. Some are sick and hope has departed. Bring back the sunlight to them. There are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for these and bring them to Jesus Christ. And in all your work, Christ will be present to make impressions upon human hearts.
To minister as Jesus did is to minister to the afflicted. But what a scene met their eyes as they entered again the courts of the temple. Christ was ministering to the poor, the suffering, and the afflicted. These had cried in their anguish because they could not find relief from their affliction and their sin. They had heard of this man, Jesus. They had heard a rumor concerning his compassion and love. They had heard how he had healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, and made the lame to walk. And one cry for pity went up from their lips. One after another they began to relate the story of their affliction, and he bent over them as a tender mother bends over her suffering child. He bade the sick and the afflicted to come forth into health and peace. He gave the suffering tender comfort. He took the little ones in his arms and commanded freedom from disease and suffering. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, health to the diseased, and comfort to the afflicted. We have a duty to minister to the poor, lame, halt, and blind. In his conversation at the table, the Lord was not speaking new truth, advancing new doctrines, or expounding new principles. He was repeating an old commandment which he had previously given to Moses to be given to them. He wished them to understand that his teachings in no wise lessened the force of the commandments previously given. The feasts and the suppers that were given by the priests, the Pharisees, and rulers were given merely for selfish enjoyment. They called in their favorites, their wealthy relatives and friends, who would, in their turn, invite them to feasts at their houses, and, if possible, spread before them more abundant supplies. Jesus sought to extend their vision, to show them that they had a duty which was obligatory upon them for all time, and that was to minister to the poor, the lame, the halt, and the blind. He also would have them consider the fact that no duty done to the needy, the afflicted, and the sorrowing would lose its reward. Christ answers the prayers of the afflicted by sending his followers. He does not work a miracle in sending manna from heaven. He does not send ravens to bring them food. But he works a miracle upon human hearts. He expels selfishness from the soul. He unseals the fountain of benevolence. He tests the love of his professed followers by committing to their tender mercies the afflicted and bereaved ones, the poor and the orphan. These are in a special sense the little ones whom Christ looks upon, whom it is an offense to him to neglect. Those who do neglect them are neglecting Christ in the person of his afflicted ones. Every kind act done to them in the name of Jesus is accepted by him as if done to himself, for he identifies his interest with that of suffering humanity, and he has entrusted to his church the grand work of ministering to Jesus by helping and blessing the needy and suffering. On all who shall minister to them with willing hearts, the blessing of the Lord will rest. Teach the afflicted to care for themselves. It means to teach the improvident the need of economy. There are thousands of the widows and the fatherless, the young and the aged, the afflicted and the crippled, who should be taught how to help themselves. Many confined to their beds are unable to work. But those who can work should be made to realize that if they do not work, they shall not be fed. Everyone who is capable of eating a square meal is capable of working to pay for that meal. If made to pay for his food, he will appreciate the money value of strength and time. Such beneficence carries with it valuable lessons. It not only ministers to the needs of the poor, but teaches them how to care for themselves.